T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Want to put your baseball skills to the test? Then get ready to show your stuff with MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Sign up for free for a chance to play your way to the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 World Series. Visit pitchhitrun.com today.
All right, it is 8:51 here on this Thursday morning. I don't want to waste more time. I want to bring in Dan Dicker, of course, energy analyst, former. I mean, Dan, you don't still trade, do you?
Sure, I do. Okay. What are you kidding? It's once it's in the blood, Brian.
You can't get rid of it. I know. Now you can trade in your pajamas all the time, all you want.
If I told you what I was wearing right now, it's even worse than pajamas.
You don't have to go there. You can put the G-string away later. Listen, the book is Turning Oil Green: A Market-Based Path to Renewables. And the reason I bring the book up is that, you know, we were talking before you were on the line and before I went to the last break, that when that book came out, oil was at like $35-$40 a barrel, and now we're at $110. I don't know how the concepts in the book hold up in current conditions.
They absolutely hold up. I mean, this is the thesis. The book's thesis was that the only way that you move renewables forward is by getting a proper market price for energy. And the truth is, we've been spoiled for so long with low energy prices. Everything else in the world goes up, right? Stocks go up, housing goes up. Well, milk goes up, but oil for a long time didn't go up. It basically it went down a lot over the course of the last 10 years. So what you needed is a more real pricing for oil and gas, which is, you know, hurting consumers. But what that does, of course, is it makes, you know, renewables more competitive. Wait, over the long haul. I mean, and they just weren't competitive. I mean, if oil's cheap, why develop solar and wind? I mean, you can just use gas, you know.
I have a natural follow-up on that, but I want to ask you think the prices now are more fair market prices?
Yeah, I think they're closer to what they should have been. I think, you know, oil, and I've said this for a decade now, is that oil was reasonably priced in a, you know, at close to $100 a barrel, and I think that's the reasonable price right now. The price of gasoline is not reasonable, and there's a different reason for that, and it's because, you know, the refinery business in this country is so far behind where it should be. We haven't built a major refinery in this country in 65 years. I mean, they're being held together with duct tape and baling wire. And when, you know, you get a supply squeeze like we have of everything right now, you know, the refiners just can't catch up. And so, you may have oil at $110 a barrel, but gasoline is pricing as if it was $200 a barrel. So there's a double whammy going on there.
So what would be, just if this corrects itself or the infrastructure catches up with the way it should be, excuse me, if oil's at 100 and 110, you know, if those things were in a better shape, what would be a fair market price for a gallon of gas?
Yeah, I think you're looking at 350. I think that's, you know, what the crack spreads would tell you, or at least the historical crack spreads would tell you, that $100, you know, a barrel oil would represent on the market, you know, give or take, you know.
Can you explain to a layperson what a crack spread is in the most simple terms?
Yeah, I mean, it's very simple. I mean, it's like if you're Kellogg's, you know, you take corn and you make corn flakes, okay? So you pay a certain amount for corn, and then you're going to charge someone a certain amount for corn flakes. So you're working on a margin, right? Mm-hmm. And the refiners are the same way. You take crude oil in, and then you turn it into gasoline, then you sell crude oil out, you sell gasoline out at a certain price. Both of those are market-based. So it's not like the refiners, you know, decide what those are going to be. Not like Kellogg's. They don't really have that option.
Right.
The market kind of decides it. But the difference between what crude oil is and what the end product gasoline is, that's what's known as a crack spread.
Got it. Dan Dicker, the book is Turning Oil Green, A Market-Based Path to Renewables, energy analyst, energy trader here on Brian & Company and WTIC. You know, I find that the drilling debate is a little like the gun debate. It's like, why does it have to be polar? Like, why does it either you're for at all or against it all. I mean, it seems like the logical thing to do is, in the near term, we do need to ramp up production because we need to make sure we're independent, and we have to, at the same time, be working on all the renewable stuff, correct? We don't just, like, drill less and then focus on this. We have to do both.
Well, part of the reason my book was so ill-received, you know, is because it kind of beats up on everybody. The left has gotten this problem wrong. The right has gotten this problem wrong. Oil companies have been very undisciplined over the last 6 years and are having a tough time, you know, now getting the capital that they need to ramp up production to meet, you know, the supply problems that we're having right now.
Right.
And the left has just beaten the crap out of them over the past 6 years. And in many ways, you know, part of the process, like a windfall profit tax, that idea was being floated recently. It's like, you know, you don't come to the rescue of oil companies when they're losing money, and they've been losing money steadily for 6 years. So now that they're making a profit and trying to make back some of the money they lost, you know, the left comes with, you know, a windfall profit tax, which is, you know, kind of silly too. So, you know, all these issues, and I've been watching this, you know, for decades, and both sides have gotten, you know, the problems and the solutions, in my mind, you know, completely wrong. And that's kind of why I wrote the book.
Well, you know, it's funny you talk about decades. I mean, I don't think you were trading during, it's like, the oil embargo days, but I'm sure you were living through it. How does this current condition compare to other, like, sort of moments in history when it comes to energy prices?
Well, you know, the best I could compare it to was the period between, you know, 2003 and 2007, when oil prices spiked from, you know, under $50 to finally $150 right before the, you know, the crisis of 2007. And what happened there was the same kind of thing. You had this kind of enormous kind of demand that came into the marketplace all of a sudden. Last time it came from China and India and the Far East. And this time it's coming just from every country in the world that's coming out of a pandemic. And it's being supercharged, of course, by a European market that's now trying to forego Russian supplies of oil and gas. So that's adding even more demand for, you know, products and for oil and gas in Europe so that they can do away with, you know, with Russian supplies.
You know,
so it's a perfect storm, the type I've never seen before.
So it's unprecedented in terms of that. We only have about 90 seconds, but I had one more question for you, but I have to ask you, do you think that Angela Merkel making this deal with Russia some years ago was one of the worst policy decisions in the last 100 years?
There was a very cozy relationship based on oil in all of Europe. I mean, Germany was clearly the worst of it. So, you know, there is a lot to be said for that. And Schroeder before her had an even closer ties with the Russian oil companies and still does, you know. So there is a lot of blame to go around for the condition that the Europeans are in, and particularly Germany, in being so dependent upon, you know, the killer Putin right now. It's a long-standing problem that they're trying to get out of in a very quick way.
Yeah.
And it's putting a lot of pressure on oil prices, that's for sure.
Hey, so the prices, that's what my next question is. I mean, I can't see this abating anytime soon, but I don't really know what I'm talking about relative to you. How long is this going to sustain itself?
You know what you're talking about.
How long is this going to sustain itself?
Look, you know, you pull away, the Russians are dropping supply, sanctions are working. There's the prediction that 3 million barrels are coming out of the marketplace, you know, in terms of total supply from the Russians alone. OPEC is in no great hurry to add production in this market again. They want to make a lot of money back, and they've been waiting a long time to make it. So, and they're not so happy about helping the West out in terms of supply. And U.S. Producers have been starved, and 1,000 companies have gone bankrupt in the last 6 years, and they don't have the capital to produce all that quickly. So you tell me, I mean, how long does this go on? You got 2 years of this at least, and probably, you know, if we don't go into a major recession, which will drop demand a lot, I mean, the number of miles being driven isn't going down. I mean, it's not like high oil prices are stopping people from driving. You go on the highways, it's horrible out there. You can't get anywhere.
I know.
You know, so it's going to go on for a while.
Great. Next time I want to feel really good, I'm definitely not calling you. Hey, Dan, it's great.
We can talk hockey, then you'll feel good.
Well,
you know?
My Bruins lost, so I'm not sure about that. It's great. Hey, we got to talk more often. And Dan, we really appreciate it. What a great, great set of insights. Thank you.
Anytime, Brian. You know that.
All right, Dan Dicker. The book is Turning Oil Green, A Market-Based Path to Renewables.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. T-Mobile.com.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.